Well, we've been doing this study as a church, Unshakable Hope, Max Lucado book, and we kind of took a break over the Christmas holidays, and it is time to get back in it. And so the next couple weeks we'll be looking at it, and for those of you that are following along in the book series, we're on chapter 8, and today we're going to be talking about a few different things. We're going to be talking about storms. Thanks, Luke. And then we're going to be talking about where Jesus is in the midst of the storm. Jesus is praying for you. And so as I was thinking about storms, you ever have that one of those moments where you got yourself into a situation and you thought, man, I wish I would have asked more questions first? You ever been to one of those places? I was doing missions in this on this reserve on Vancouver Island when I was 20. And I was there for a summer. And one of the things that happened to me while I was there was this guy, he was a former chief. He's well-respected in the community. Awesome guy. He's always giving us deer sausage, so what's wrong with that, you know? So he was really generous and friendly. One day he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, Ryan, I want to take you to a place, not where we live now, but where people originated from, because the government actually moved us off an island because we were so isolated." And he says, "I have a boat and I'd like to take you to this place and we'll spend the night and do some deer hunting." And little did I know, but there was lots of cougars on this island. There was also some tame sheep, of all things, like domesticated sheep that just went wild again because they just left them when they deserted the island. It's crazy. So there's all these sheep running all over the place. You know, we could have had mutton burgers or something, but we didn't. But he wanted to get a deer and stuff like that. And he wanted to take me on a little trip. So me, of my great knowledge of water, being a prairie boy, I said, "Well, that sounds like a great idea because it's right on the ocean." And so we get to where we're going, and he kind of said, "You know, like, make sure to pack your bags and some garbage bags and stuff like that. It could get a little wet out there and stuff." Well, if you know me, I had some bad experiences in water when I was a kid. And so, like, you know, swimming, as long as the water is like to here, is fine. But once the water is like ocean deep, it's not fine. You know, like I get a little nervous. And so, I mean, I do it, but I don't always like to do it. But anyways, so we get to his boat. And in my mind, 20-year-old Ryan thought, this is going to be a big boat that you go on the ocean with. It was a 14-foot Lund boat that you go on the ocean with. And then he looks, and all of a sudden, my buddy, his name was Georgie, he goes, "Oh, shoot, those little rascals." Like, "The rascals? What?" He says, "They shot a hole in my boat." I thought, okay, well, this is... trips off, praise the Lord. We don't have to go on the ocean on this little Lund boat. My buddy Georgie was a carver. He actually made his living by making beautiful paddles and carving them. So it didn't really stop him or slow him down at all. He just kind of went and he grabbed a stick off the ground. And he started carving, and lo and behold, he made a little bung for this hole that had been blasted into the side of his boat. Like, it wasn't like a 22. It was bigger like than that. And so, and he shoves this thing in. And all of a sudden, we're on the ocean. And it was calm. Beautiful day. No problem. Well, once we got out of the little inlet where the reserve was located, it was not calm. It was a storm. And suddenly I find myself in Bible times, like with the disciples on the water, thinking to myself, okay, Jesus, you are the calmer of the storm, and you need to come and save me now. Because pretty soon the waves start picking up and rolling, and then we're getting splashed in the face pretty good. And then there's water coming on the boat. And then pretty soon the waves are as big as the boat. Like, they're big waves. They're not little waves. And my buddy, who grew up doing this like his whole life, I wasn't too nervous until he said, "Man, this is the worst storm I've ever been in." So I said, "Where did you put that life jacket you said you had for me?" And we all strapped in on our life vests, you know. And our stuff was just drenched, like soaking wet, drenched. And we're going along, and there's just this crazy storm going. And I mean, I am getting more nervous by the second. And pretty soon, you know, I look behind me, and my buddy George, he's taking out the bung from the back of the boat. And I think, okay, this guy's trying to kill me now. He's taking the missionary out to the water to sacrifice him or something. I'm looking for a knife or a gun or something that he's going to, you know, finish me with next. But little did I know, he sped up a little bit, and the water actually went out the back of the boat. And so we weren't in as dire straits as I thought we were. He knew what he was doing. I had no clue what was going on. But I'll tell you, it's one of those moments in your life where you think, "God, if you get me through this, I will follow you all the days of my life." You know? You ever been in a situation like that? As storms, they come out of nowhere and they hit us. A couple of years ago up at the camp, there was that big push wind that went through. And I don't know if you know anything about the foundations of the cabins at the camp. They're solid. They're good. Like, Paul, you did a great job. But they're all just on posts. You know, all the cabins are sitting on posts. Nothing's on concrete except for the chapel. And this wind came up out of nowhere and just started breaking trees off. Like, I mean, trees were falling everywhere. And I think Andrea and I had two kids at that moment in our life. And there was a tree that fell right by the cabin where me and all the staff were staying. And there was like 9 staff at the camp at that point. And the tree that broke off was huge. And it just about hit the building we were in. And later on, we found out that like 5 trees landed on the dining hall and broke rafters and all sorts of crazy stuff like that. I mean, I was in a little bit of panic mode, not maybe for me so much as the staff and my kids. And it was like, we need to get out of this building right now, and we need to run like the Dickens to the chapel, because that's going to be the safest place there. Well, I get outside, and I am yelling at the top of my lung in the middle of this storm as trees are just falling down everywhere, and it just smattered the camp. Like, there was, you know, for a week afterwards, we were chainsawing and pushing and doing all sorts of stuff to get the trees out of the way just so we could run camp. And I'm yelling at the staff, and we get inside the chapel. And all of a sudden, one of the staff members comes to me and hands me a sweater. And here I'd ran to the chapel with no shirt on, you know, because I was just trying to get everybody safe. You know, I had shorts on. It's all good. But basketball shorts, you know. But he gave me this thing that was about five sizes too small for me. So, you know, I zip it up. And I told these girls, because there's some huge trees right outside the chapel, and if those things ever decided to go, we would have been in trouble. And so I told some girls that were with me, I said, now, girls, I'm not trying to freak you out, but if the roof starts falling in on us, we got to do some things here. And I started to tell them, and the girls just started bawling. And I'm like, girls, I'm not trying to freak you out, but I was a little bit nervous, to say the least. And so the first thing they handed me was a sweater that was too small. Second thing they handed me was the guitar. And they said, we're scared. We should maybe sing some songs. We started to sing songs like, Our God is Greater. Our God is Stronger. Our God is Higher than any other. Our God is Mighty to Save. Storm lasts probably 10 minutes max. We were in the chapel just worshiping for about 2 to 3 hours in this sweater that was way too tight. And what started as terror and fear ended in praise and adoration. And what we actually ended up doing that night was praying, not for ourselves, but for all the campers that were going to be at camp that summer. Because camp was coming in like 5 days or 10 days or something. Talking about physical storms, but in our life, we have emotional storms. We have physical to our body storms. We have all sorts of trouble. Our loved ones have trouble. Hey, today, if you feel like I'm kind of a downer, I'm actually just preaching the sermon that is part of the chapter. But this is stuff that we really need to think about. This is stuff we need to find encouragement from, because all of us in this room have been alive long enough to know that life does not always go to plan. Life doesn't always go smooth. Emergencies come up, things change, situations change. And if we don't have that anchor on Jesus, we can get tossed here and there, to and fro, pretty easily. Jesus, when he was on earth, he actually taught us that we would have trouble. In John 6:16-33, in fact, he says, in this world, you will have trouble. Does not get more direct than that, does it? I mean, the reality is, when Jesus created the earth, it was perfect. It was incredible. And then sin crept in. And sin's very destructive. And we all live in a fallen world. We do. Our bodies disintegrate. Relationships disintegrate. Our bank accounts disintegrate. All sorts of things can happen that we don't expect. Many Christians have this belief, though, that because they follow Jesus, they get a free pass from any and all problems in life. In fact, some preachers preach that. I'm not one of those preachers. I know this, that Jesus is with me through the storm. And it's not because I lack faith that Jesus can stop the storm. It's just sometimes Jesus doesn't choose to do that. Sometimes we like to use God like a vending machine. Put our two little prayers in and get our Coke out the bottom. It's not how God works. He's into a relationship with us. He's into guiding us and helping us and healing us and freeing us and doing all sorts of amazing and incredible things in our lives, to our lives, through our lives. But he's not a vending machine. But sometimes when we go to prayer, it's just like, you know, we'll put our little prayers in and get our answers out that we want. And when we don't get that, we get frustrated. Well, God is into a relationship with you. He wants to see you through the hard times. He wants to be there with you. Some people believe, you know, if I just stir up enough faith, everything's going to be okay. This is a hard one, because I do believe that faith and healing are connected. There's lots of times when I feel like the man who went up to Jesus and says, I believe, help me with my unbelief. Some people believe if they just believe in the right way, and they try to make like a formula out of God. God is not to be put in a box. Your relationship with him is just like every other relationship. It's not a formula. It's not always A plus B equals C. And sometimes that kind of just doesn't work with the way our brain works. Because God is eternal. God is holy. God is perfect. God is different than us. Some people will tell you that if something's not going okay, then you must be doing something wrong. These are hard truths that we face. Hard things that people try to throw at us as truth, but it's not always true. Here's the big picture. Big question. What does Jesus do when we're facing the sometimes crashing and chaotic times in life? Or another way to say that? Where is Jesus in the storm? Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt like, God, where are you right now? God, I need you right now. Here's a big thought from Romans 8:34. Christ Jesus, though he died, more than that, was raised to life. This is the good news, you guys. It is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Did you know that Jesus had troubles in the world? Jesus, 100% God, 100% man, came down to earth and his life wasn't always smooth. I'll give you some examples. His family thought that he is crazy. Did you know that? Jesus was performing all sorts of miracles and doing all sorts of incredible things. And he was getting really popular. And his family says, when his family heard this about this, they went to take charge of him. For they said, is he out of his mind? I can just imagine being like Jesus' brother. If all of a sudden one of my brothers started just performing miracles all over the place and you know, blind people seeing, deaf people hearing, and legs growing, and lame people walking, and people that were full of demons get cast out, and all this other stuff that happened, you go, what's going on? Jesus' family, at this moment, they thought he was a little bit crazy. It would have been hard to process for them, I'm sure. Jesus was deserted. When Jesus was arrested with his disciples, it says here in Mark 14:50, then everyone deserted him and fled. You ever felt deserted? Jesus gets it. He understands deserted. Jesus was rejected. Before the crucifixion of Jesus, Pilate tried to release him, but the mob, they wouldn't let that happen. They just said, crucify him, crucify him. Wanting to release him, Jesus, Pilate appealed to them again, but they kept shouting, crucify him, crucify him. And then did you realize that Jesus actually wanted out? Jesus was 100% God, 100% human. He had human tendencies like us. He was obedient, even to death on a cross. But it wasn't what he wanted. You know why he did it? Because it was the way that we could be put back in right relationship with God. During the days of Jesus' life on earth, this is from Hebrews 5, he offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. That's God. And he was heard because of his reverent submission. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered. So Jesus had troubles in this world. It's not like Jesus, when he meets with us, he doesn't understand. Jesus' followers will face storms. Philippians 1:29 says this, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for him. In the book of Acts, we see the church being birthed, and it's an exciting time. We see people getting saved, and all sorts of incredible things happening. But do you know that that was a great time of persecution? Sometimes we just think of it as just an awesome time, but it was actually, the way that the gospel spread was through persecution. It was through trouble. So here's some examples from the book of Acts. First of all, Peter and John were preaching, and the people were responding, but they were put in jail because of the message that they were proclaiming, that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. In Acts 4, it says, they seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next day. Then in Acts 7, we read about Stephen. He was giving a Jewish history lesson to the people in the Sanhedrin, and he gave them a pretty stiff rebuke. In Acts 7, it says, at this they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices. Could you imagine a group of grown men covering their ears and yelling at the top of their voices? Imagine all the guys in this room just cover their ears and yell at the top of their voices. That'd be weird. That'd be different. It'd be chaotic. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we've got to put ourselves in that situation and think, what was this actually like? They all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, and began to stone him. Do you know that Saul was there at Stephen's stoning, later called Paul, the apostle who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament? Here's another one from Acts. In Acts 8, right after Stephen's stoning, there was such great persecution that they scattered. On that day, a great persecution broke out against the church in Jerusalem. And do you know that that's primarily how the gospel was spread? And then in Acts 16, we have Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned for sharing the gospel of Christ. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. Sometimes we think we have trouble in life. I've never been beaten and stripped with a rod. So what do we do with this information? What do we do with the reality that there are storms in life? What do we do with the reality that some of us, even in this room today, are experiencing great heartache? Well, we need to remember that Jesus is for us. He's not against us. That's not some cliche that we throw around. That's a reality that we live out. And that can be really hard, especially if we're in the middle of a storm. If we're in the middle of trouble in our life. Let's draw you back to Romans 8:34. I'm just going to read it again. Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. What does intercede mean? It means to make a specific request or a petition before someone. When you intercede for somebody, you're going before somebody on that person's behalf. When we say we're interceding for somebody and we're talking about prayer, we're praying for somebody on their behalf. Today we prayed for Leona. We interceded for her. It's really important as a body that we intercede on behalf of each other. But it's also important that we understand this truth and grab hope from this truth that Jesus, the Son of God, intercedes on our behalf as well. Jesus not only knows about your storm, but he cares about it and is making requests and petition on your behalf. Here's some more verses about how Jesus intercedes for us. From Hebrews 7, it says, therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Here's another one from 1 Timothy. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus. So we have this information that I've given you today, but so what? Why does it matter? I can remember the moment when the first doctor told my wife that she wasn't going to be able to have babies. I can remember the moment when the second doctor told us the same thing. I can remember the pain in my heart when my wife experienced her first miscarriage. But I also remember what we did when we got that second report. We got in our car. We felt a little crushed and beaten, scared. My wife says, "What are we going to do now?" And I just looked at her and said, "Honey, that's what that doctor says. But what does Jesus say?" We were in the middle of one of the crazy, chaotic camping seasons. And we're driving back from Yorkton to the camp. It takes about 1 hour and 15 minutes. And we just start to pray. And we just simply went before God. And that trip went pretty fast. Because when you start to spend time with God, time flies. And we just put our hands on my wife. We just prayed. Wasn't eloquent. Wasn't any special words. It was just two of God's children in the middle of a storm, turning to God and saying, "Help." And I remember faith rising up in us as we were praying to cancel off the words that the doctor had spoken over my wife and to declare life into her. And we got back to the camp and we never told anyone what had happened. And the staff knew something happened, but they didn't know what. A friend of mine who actually goes to this church, who works at the camp, who's not known for his charismatic ways, came up to me the next morning and said, "I had a dream last night." And in that dream, I saw you holding a little girl. Sorry, it's a little emotional, I guess. Says, "I don't know if it means anything to you, but I just thought I'd share it with you." Suddenly there was hope in the midst of the storm. A light that we saw. And there we were, not knowing what the future was going to hold. You guys know the rest of the story. We have four little kids. And they are full of life. Sometimes mom and dad have a little bit of trouble keeping up with those four full of life kids. But we're so thankful for them. That was a serious storm in our life that we did not know how it was going to turn out. In that story, things turned out okay. They turned out awesome. They turned out miraculously good. But sometimes that's not the answer that God gives us. Isn't it good to know that Jesus is interceding for us? As I mentioned before, being a Christian does not mean that you get a free pass from life's problems. The good news is that Jesus meets us in the middle of the storm. Today, if this message is speaking to you, let him meet you there. There's a story in Matthew 14 about how Jesus walks on the water. Do you know that in that story that there is a great storm going on? Jesus sends his disciples to go on a boat, and he goes up a mountainside to pray. Maybe pray for them. And this storm comes up. And all of a sudden they see this thing walking across the water. Well, they think it's a ghost. And then one of them says, "Hey, I think that's Jesus." And we know that, you know, the story, Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water for a few steps and made it further than I ever have. And then he crashes in. Jesus says, "Oh, Peter, you have little faith. You know, get out of there." Jesus still meets us in our storm. Jesus is praying on your behalf. He is for you. Jesus is still sovereign over all storms. He will lead you through. You gotta let him know. But sometimes that's really hard because we're so full of pain, we're so full of frustration, so full of anger, so full of this thing and that thing that we cannot make it there. Today I want to encourage you in a new and a fresh way. When the storms of life hit, not if, when they hit, turn to Jesus and know that he is for you. This is really the rubber meets the road kind of sermon for this unshakable hope, isn't it? Because when we're talking about unshakable hope, it's easy to have hope when everything's good. It is really easy to have shakable hope when things are not good. For me in my life, when I'm going through storms, hindsight's always 20/20. But every time God brings me through the storm, I have a deeper relationship with him. I get to a place in my relationship with him that I couldn't have got through any other way. and what God is calling for me to do in the midst of the storm is just to remain faithful and let Him handle it. We want to control everything. God's sovereign. We're not. God's all powerful. We're not. We're going to take communion now. And as we head into communion, I just want us to think about really what Jesus has done for us. As Jesus, when He, you guys can come forward, whoever's serving. When Jesus came down to earth, He was making a way for us to be in right relationship with God. And really, there's no other way that we can be saved. There really isn't. We can try all we want. We can do all the right things that we want. But I'm so glad that I don't have to control. I'm so glad that when Jesus came, that it really changed everything. I'm with Luke, the worship leader this morning, when he was saying at the end, who are we that we can say such words about God? Who are we that, but God chooses us. Chooses us to be His own and to walk with us through the storms of life. Let's pray and then we'll pass out communion. God, I thank You for who You are and what You do in our lives. I thank You, God, that You love us so much, that You are not willing to leave us the way we are. God, I pray that You would help us today. Help anyone here who's dealing with major storms in their life to be able to know that, God, You are for them, that Jesus, You are interceding on their behalf today. And God, I pray that they would just receive Your encouragement and Your comfort from that. God, I thank You in my own life how You've taken me through storms. And what I found out is that You're such a good God. Jesus, we love You. Amen.